Hey y'all, Claire here. Welcome back to our conversation on setting customer-led KPIs. Last week, we covered what a KPI even is, the difference between leading and lagging indicators of success, and why focusing on transactional measures of success is problematic. If you haven't caught that episode yet, check it out at the link in the show notes. As for this week, we'll continue our discussion by exploring the difference between customer journey mapping and customer experience mapping, and how experience mapping enables a team to continually provide customers with moments of value. Let's get into it.
I would wager if you brought these KPIs back to the larger organization and asked them, are you more motivated by helping customers by closing more tickets or generating more demographically focused MQLs or credit cards entered or daily active or weekly active? Like, what is more motivating to you? Hitting those, for the most part, transactional sort of moments in customers' relationship with us, or these KPIs that are focused on customers getting value, 100% of the time, they're going to say, I want to focus my work around helping customers get to moments of value. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Forget the Funnel podcast, where our goal is to help you as a SaaS leader finally stop guessing, understand your best customers, and drive more predictable recurring revenue. We're Gia and Claire, founders of Forget the Funnel, a product marketing and growth consultancy that helps SaaS businesses learn from their best customers, map and measure their experiences, and unlock their best levers for growth. So if you're looking to help your team make smarter decisions, this show is for you.
We should talk a bit more about KPIs, the overall customer experience, and talk a little bit about like CX mapping. Tell me a little bit about the idea of a customer experience map, like one of the tools that we, I don't know. Now that I've worked with you this long, I don't know how teams live without.
I agree. So one of the biggest distinctions between, in my opinion, between like customer journey mapping and customer experience mapping is that a lot of people have these sort of understanding and associations, like preconceived sort of notions of what a customer journey map is. And generally they start when somebody lands on the website and often ends when somebody becomes a customer. Thankfully, Pirate Metrics came along eventually and was like, actually, no, it's not just about being a customer. It's about being like a lifetime customer with high retention. And so customer journey maps expand a little bit past that. But we tend to talk about them as customer experience maps because they're more holistic. So they take into account somebody out in the world experiencing the problem that your product solves even before they know that you exist. And they go all the way through that sort of struggle phase of somebody still experiencing that problem, whether or not they've discovered that you might exist. So the struggle phase spans from first experiencing the problem through this like trigger moment of like, nope, fuck this, got to solve this, today's the day, through to evaluating possible solutions. So you might, in a typical like B2B scenario, that might be identifying what your shortlist might be of possible solutions forward, and then deciding which one of them you want to like give a shot to. And that's when you move into evaluation mode. So we refer to it as like the struggle phase, the evaluation phase, and the growth phase. The evaluation phase we've been talking about more because this is the crunchiest sort of phase of the customer experience to try to identify KPIs. It's the hardest. It's where most teams go awry with their KPIs is in the evaluation phase because they go like credit card entered or whatever. They choose some less than ideal KPI that has nothing to do with customer value being delivered. So that evaluation phase really is about getting to that first moment of value in your product. So saying your website did a good job gets to the first moment of value in your product with that most meaningful product usage that is going to convince them to keep going. So we often refer to this like study where it's like 70% of people who sign up for a product log in once and never log in again. So first value is a very important milestone. And if it's a very important milestone, your customer's relationship with you, it's a very important milestone to measure. And then there's value realization. And sometimes it's more complex than this, right? If your customers are complex, they're complex companies, or you have a complex product, then your evaluation phase might actually be multiple steps long. But in its most simplest form, we tend to talk about it as first value and value realization. Value realization is where you've solved your customer's job to be done. You've at least the initial sort of solving it. They have that moment of like, yes, thank God, this is the solution for me. I'm going to move forward with this. I can fire my old solution. So that's when you would stop manually updating your calendar on your own and like
I wish.
Basically let this thing take over. Our goal is to get people to value realization. But as recurring revenue businesses, actually it's the growth phase where things get the most interesting. And I don't even want to say interesting as in like optional, because again, recurring revenue businesses live and die by continued value.
Something that I want to distinguish for anyone who's listening is like visualize for yourself a linear journey from left to right. So you talked about the struggle phase, the evaluation phase, and then the growth phase. And we're not talking about like growth marketing. We're talking about value growth. So a customer right. getting more value from your product than they did when they first over time.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, growth teams would jump in at any one of these phases. Good growth team jumps in at, you know, any one of these phases.
Any part of the customer experience.
That's right. It's sort of across the board. Yeah, these are in reference to your customer's experience, not the actions you are necessarily taking as a team or the name of any sort of team. So the growth phase, just to sort of cap that one off, the first milestone inside of the growth phase is really about continued value. This is where SaaS companies live or die. Can you retain high value customers? So you need to be delivering continuous value month over month. If your customer is paying you monthly, they are making a decision monthly whether or not to keep, you know, using your and paying for your tool. Are they getting that continued value is really critical to get right and measure, which we can talk about in more detail how we would do that. And then also inside of the growth phase is where SaaS gets really interesting, where we're talking about like expansion and net revenue retention, upgrades, expanded usage of the product in more sophisticated ways. There's a lot that we could talk about there. So that's in a nutshell, struggle, evaluation, growth. Each one of those phases breaks down in such a way that needs to be measurable by the team to demonstrate that we've helped customers get from one of these sort of milestones to the next.
Can we talk through either some examples or like how you think about defining those customer-led KPIs as we get further into an individual product experience? Because I think this is really where this customer-led idea is an evolution from pirate metrics, which are just kind of generic across the CX.
Yeah, I mean, pirate metrics talks about activation, but not necessarily what activation means, right? And so similarly, we talk about aha moments, product activation, first value. They're all synonyms of the same thing, effectively. But it might help to talk about a particular product or example, because in general, the KPIs need to do a couple of things. They need to demonstrate that your customer has gotten to value, and that can mean a lot of things. So it might mean they've used a critical or the most important part for them, part of your product for the first time. And they've done so in a way that would show us that it was valuable for them. So I'll use a Slack polling product as my example here. So it might be that they launched their first poll, might be that first like critical use of the product that demonstrates that they're going to get to first value to see how easy it is to launch their first poll. So first value might be they launched their first poll, or depending on, you know, how things break down, you might want to actually also say that, no, it's not enough that they just launched the poll. We should also see that they actually get some responses back as well. So their first value might be, yep, they've launched the poll, but they've also gotten X number of responses back. And that will demonstrate to us that we've done a good job helping our customer get to that critical moment of first value where they're willing to keep going with us. They're willing to, you know, introduce it to the rest of their team. They're willing to roll out a company-wide poll. They're willing to basically take it to the next level where they're actually showing like actual full product engagement with it. So that's maybe a decent example of like how we would actually tie like the usage of a particular feature to a moment of value.
There's an amount of social capital that the person trying the product has to leverage if they're going to bring a new tool to the team and be like, hey, everyone, let's all try this. And for the tool you're describing, which is very much around team usage, and I think there's like an especially important nugget in there for SaaS products leveraging that land and expand or like self-serve individual account to team model.
We didn't talk about value realization really yet, but how we tend to think about it, just to try to go to like each one by one examples of like how, what would a KPI look like at value realization? Or again, another word for that might be like product engagement. Basically, somebody engages with your product for the first time in a way that demonstrates that they would be willing to add to team members, or that they are willing to fire their old solution, or in a way that demonstrates that we've solved their job to be done for the first time. So along our path, first value is they've used the product for the first time in a way that basically demonstrates to them that they're on the right path and that they should continue moving forward. So our example was they launched a poll and they got a minimum number of responses back for the first time. Product engagement in that example would be something like they had their first month. I don't know, I'm making this up. First month where they ran 3 polls in a month. So 3 polls rolled out over a 30-day period of time. That demonstrates that customer has solved that original problem, which was like, you know, maybe around like employee engagement, let's say. So if they've actually run a poll with a minimum number of responses 3 times in a given month, we can feel good that they've gotten to value realization. That's why we call it value realization. And that's for the first time. Then we were like, okay, we've solved this job. They've clearly fired their other solution. Now we can move forward, basically. Before that, it doesn't make sense to tell them, hey, we should make it into this other team, or you should use this other features that are maybe less related or adjacent. You know, it doesn't make sense to introduce them to too many things otherwise. Another thing that I have to mention too during these milestones is like, turn off your other shit. Like, turn off your other communication, like your newsletter or like new feature announcements. None of that stuff should be happening when you're zeroed in and focused on your customers hitting these KPIs. That's your only job, is to help them hit these KPIs. And then on the, basically once somebody has come out of the evaluation phase, so they've hit value realization, now our job is to keep them happy and healthy and delivering value over time, which is a continued value. And this one, we're working with teams, we're often talking about like frequency of usage over a period of time. So they're using critical parts of the product in a way that demonstrates that they're getting continued value. And then at that point, once they hit that continued value, then we can do things like, hey, have you checked out XYZ additional functionality, like surveys, or in your case, like project management, or did you know that you can add team members? That's when customers become ready to be introduced to like the other toys in the toy box. And then value expansion will kind of mean something different to every tool, because for some products that have value metric based like pricing and packaging strategies, right? Like if frequency of usage, if upping their product usage, and ideally this is the case, if upping their product usage means more success for them and more revenue for you, that is amazing. And that's definitely what we should all be gearing towards. But basically, once they've hit continued value, then it's about like, hey, how can you use more of this? Zapier does an amazing job of this, right? Zapier just completely overhauled their pricing strategy. They made a bunch of stuff free. I'm forgetting all the terminology right now, but it's because their value metric is about customers not feeling inhibited in how they use their product. And so they took the guardrails off of how you could use their product, mm-hmm. so that you use it even more. You get more value. There's more value to you, and there's more value to Zapier as well. And so that's mm-hmm. like value expansion. That could also mean upgrades from, or moving from monthly to annual billing. It could mean upgrades mm-hmm. in different plans if they want to add team members or use functionality that's only available on your higher paid tiers. There's a lot of different versions of value expansion depending on what makes sense for your product.
Okay, imagine ideal state. We've got our customer-led KPIs, and the team now has metrics of success that tie to like their work and customer value being aligned. How does this not just become like a nice arts and crafts project? In other words, like how do you really get people to rally around these types of KPIs rather than like, okay, we learned what matters to our customers, and it's just like a thing that ends up on a shelf?
Let's say a couple of the members of the leadership team, or you know, you get your head of your go-to-market teams and founders in a room, and the product team. or head of product and you decide on what these KPIs are going to be, I would wager if you brought these KPIs back to the larger organization and asked them, are you more motivated by helping customers, like by closing more tickets or generating more demographically, you know, focused MQLs or credit cards entered or daily active or weekly active? Like, what is more motivating to you? Hitting those, for the most part, transactional sort of moments in customers' relationship with us, or these KPIs that are focused on customers getting value, 100% of the time, they're going to say, I want to focus my work around helping customers get to moments of value. It's a lot more motivating. And the KPIs themselves provide clarity around what to focus on, as opposed to like a daily active where the only thing your job is to get that person back into the product. If you're responsible for writing an email series to increase daily active users or something like that, like, or you're, you know, you need to send transactional emails, or you're on the product team and your KPI is more daily actives, what type of work are you going to do to encourage people to get back into the product that might be completely void of customer value? So it's a lot more meaningful for the team, I guess, is like the first step in making sure these things don't die on the shelf, because they'll get a lot more excited around solving those problems and have a lot more clarity around how to solve those problems and how to, you know, help customers get from to solving the problem they came to for in the first place. And then the other thing that I would say that becomes really interesting to try to embed it a little bit more is like, evaluate your current customer experience. How good of a job are you doing today? Map it out. Go into a whiteboarding tool and map out these KPIs, and then go and do the secret shopper thing where you evaluate, you know, you look at your marketing, you look at your website, you look at your early product experience and, you know, email series, if you have that, you sort of spend time in the product. Look at all of those things that you're doing today that are out of alignment with the KPIs that actually demonstrate that value has been experienced. And you will start to see all the opportunities that open up. And that's pretty hard to deny when you've got so much more context and information to work with when you're focused on these KPIs versus those transactional moments. So a bunch of opportunities open up, which is obviously very motivating as well. And then I guess the more obvious thing is like, start creating visibility around them. You know, start scoping projects around influencing KPIs. And what can we do to influence this particular KPI? Like, how can we get more people to use, you know, this core part of the product in this meaningful way, and sort of center your projects around influencing those KPIs?
I really like that you went into defining the success of a project by positively impacting one of these customer value oriented KPIs. If you're at a company that is more mature and you have less autonomy to like get in and change how your product analytics is set up, that's an excellent first starting point. Like, next quarter, we're going to prioritize a project to influence, not free to paid necessarily, but trial start to this moment of value within the product. And then let's see how that impacts free to paid, since we're already tracking free to paid. So really good advice for teams that can't move as quickly because they are in larger, more scale out environments. For teams that can move more quickly or have a little bit more freedom to just like get into their tooling and make changes. I mean, like the credit union analytics company that I mentioned in a recent episode, excellent example of this. We have just finished identifying their customers' jobs to be done. And from doing that, we were able to do the customer experience mapping and the KPI defining. So the team now has this understanding of what moments represent customer value. And then from there, you know, I cloned and, you know, built out for them our typical like KPI tracking spreadsheet and shared it with them. And was like, hey, start adding comments so that we can figure out where you're going to pull this data from. And it has sparked this incredible dialogue within their team, key people, head of product, head of customer success, head of engineering. Mm-hmm. And they're realizing like, oh man, we do not have the tooling in place to track these in a sustainable way. Like, what are we going to do about that? It's been really awesome.
And that's it for this episode of the Forget the Funnel podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions about the topics we covered, don't hesitate to contact Claire or I on LinkedIn. And you can also visit our website at forgetthefunnel.com. This is still a new podcast for us, so ratings, reviews, and subscriptions in your podcast platform of choice make a huge difference. See you next time.